Hi everyone, this is Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen. This show's for anyone who longs to take charge of their life, to create more success, accomplish their dreams, and to live in inspiring ways to be powerfully visible and visibly powerful. I'll be sharing stories with you from my own career and experiences, from leading engineering teams for the last 20 years, and also from interactions I have been blessed to have with people I've met from around the world. I want to give you the tools, techniques, strategies, and inspiration so you can be the best you. You can achieve the success you desire, personally and professionally. Being authentic, confident, and empowered are the keys to success and the life that you want. You can have the courage to be seen. Hi, I'm Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen, the show that focuses on you and helping you to achieve more success in your life. I want to share with you tools and techniques, strategies and stories to help you be more authentic, be more confident, and be more empowered so you can achieve the success in your life that you've always desired. You know, today I want to talk about change. I don't think anyone can deny that we are in a period of change. And so I didn't think there was a better topic to actually talk about than just change in general, because we tend to not want to change. We tend to want to actually just leave things the same. It's like we want things to be better, or we want things to be different, but at the same hand, for some reason, right, we always just would rather like not have to go through that period of change. It was funny one time that when I was talking to my husband and we were doing like kind of a scenario planning of like, would you rather work for person A or person B? Now, I knew person A better and he knew person B better. We actually neither wanted to work for either one. But you actually like, and you could talk to anyone about this, but I said, oh, I'd work for person A. And he said, no, I'd rather work for person B, just because you knew them better, even though they weren't people that you actually even wanted to work with. Because that change, that you didn't want to have to like go through something that was unknown, that vulnerability of change just makes us say, oh, I'm going to protect myself and not have to actually go through it. So think about what's going on just in the world, in the United States, you know, around us. You know, can you feel the change? You can't deny it. We're just at this big period. Some of it's good change and some of it's probably not so good change. Typically, I avoid talking politics. I probably have some unique views when it comes to politics. You know, I believe that no one is all good or all bad, no matter who you vote for. They're not going to make all good decisions. They're not going to make all bad decisions. So I just kind of avoid talking about politics in general. But with us just finishing the election, you know, in the United States, we can't really deny, you know, what's going on with change in our country. And so let's talk about change a little bit when it comes to politics. And I do have the belief that we don't actually want one party to have all the power. I believe in no matter if it's Democrat or Republican, that having some of both in elected office, you know, helps us. Having diversity throughout the House and the Senate, it helps us. Even if people don't have the same beliefs as I do, knowing that you have diversity of thought, I think, you know, helps the country run better. So I'd rather not have the president, the House, and the Senate all be aligned with one party. So that's kind of my overall view. So we're in this period of change, and so you might be celebrating the election. You might be saying that, oh, you know, you're disappointed with the election. You have to wait 4 more years. Either way, you know, it is a period of change. And I think because of the year we've had, especially with COVID, it's not surprising that people voted for additional change. So some of the changes, in addition to the election, you know, you have Amy Barrett that was recently confirmed as Supreme Court Justice. And I think any other time, this would have been celebrated more. To have another female on the Supreme Court is a great change. That a female Catholic, if you are Catholic, like, yes, we finally got a Catholic on the Supreme Court. Because of being so close to the election and because of who she's replacing, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like this change, that wanted someone else or wait until the election was done. But personally, I think anytime you have a female put in a high office like that, we should celebrate it. So it's a great change. with Joe Biden being be the oldest president that was elected, I think that is change, and he brings the experience that he's had so many years in the Senate. Kamala Harris is being vice president. I love the quote that she said on a Saturday night when they were celebrating their election. While I may be the first woman in this office, I will not be the last. And I sure hope that is true, right? That's what a great statement that she made to so many young girls and women that might want to have a high elected office. And so let's hope that quote becomes true one day. But the fact that she, as immigrant parents and being a Black Indian female as our vice president is definite change. And it'll be really interesting to see how her background, influences politics and whatever she focuses on as vice president as we go forward. I personally have had some big change this week that I started a new job. And I worked really for the same company for 22 years. I'm not exactly the same company because I went through some acquisitions and divestitures, but I started one job. And then 4 years later, it actually was GE acquired that company. So now instead of working for Bentley Nevada, I was working for GE, but really doing the same job, right? And then 20 years later, GE divested our business to ABB. So yes, I was working for a different company, but you didn't really change jobs. You're still working on the same computer, the same phone, et cetera, when you do those kind of divestitures and acquisitions. But last Friday was different. Last Friday, it was kind of sad, I have to admit, to turn in my computer, to turn in my badge, to turn in my cell phone and walk out the door. Saturday, I woke up unemployed for the first time since I was in college. It was an interesting feeling for me. It was an interesting thing to go through. I know people do it all the time, and I've relocated. I've taken a lot of different jobs within the company, but it was a unique experience for me. Now, Monday, I woke up and I started a new company, and that was exciting, just to start and do something new. So I've been drinking from a fire hose ever since all week as I'm learning what I got myself into, but it's been great experience. And I know a lot of people have been kind of giving me a hard time that Friday I was at one job, Monday I was at the next, and I didn't take any time off in between. But with COVID, my husband and I, we were kind of wanting to take a vacation and go someplace, but everything's pretty much closed down and it's hard to really enjoy time away. So I figured I might as well start work and we can take some time off later. So I think we can just say in general, 2020 has been a year of change. Want it to be or not, it definitely probably has not gone as you've predicted. That when everything closed down around us in March, I knew this was not going to be a couple week thing, but I would have never experienced or expected. 8 months later, we still have no end in sight of getting back to whatever normal is, I guess, or get back into the office or get back to a lot of the things that we love doing. We've been lucky enough around us for people to stay healthy, but just what a year of change it's been. So how about in your life? What has experienced, what change have you experienced this year? Have you really stopped to think about it? I actually think this is kind of a good time to think about it because we always think about, our goals at the beginning of the year and say, okay, we should set up a plan for January. But here in November is a great time to reflect on the year because if maybe you didn't accomplish everything that you wanted, you still have a little bit of time. You still could say, oh, I did want to accomplish that this year. So I'm going to take the last month or so that I have left and really focus and get that one or two more things done. So if you think about yourself and kind of what you've done, what's changed in your life, think about yourself personally. It could be everything from fitness and self-care and diet or nutrition, sleep. But what's changed in your life around yourself personally? Professionally, has there been any change? Like me, I took a different job, but maybe it's a different project. Maybe it's just a different focus at work. Maybe you've been balancing raising kids at home while you're trying to work and juggling your schedule that way. Maybe you step back a little bit and having to deal with childcare or childcare issues or helping your kids with all their schoolwork and trying to balance still staying employed or maybe you're taking some time off. But what's changed with you professionally? How about from a relationship standpoint? Has there been any change, good or bad? And then financial. That's like when I kind of think about goals and I kind of put them in those buckets, I always use like personally, professionally, from a relationship standpoint and financial when I am kind of running through of setting goals or now like, you know, what has changed? Because life is going to change. It's going to change in one way or another. It doesn't stay the same and it doesn't stay stagnant. We can't control that. Even though we tend to resist wanting to change, it is in our best interest of how do we learn to change? How do we embrace change? Instead of thinking that change is scary, we need to think of that change as an opportunity. And how do we actually even create more change in our life? Now that really probably sounds scary to you, but the more change that you can embrace, the easier it is to accept the change. So I want you to invite it. Invite that change in. In fact, I like the saying that you should make change the default so that there always should be change. The more you do that, the less scary it becomes. And that you quickly learn that even if you don't like a change, if there's always going to be change, you just have to wait a little bit and whatever that you don't like, it's probably going to change and maybe you'll like the next version better because the change is just going to always happen. So instead of being scared of change, I want you to think about how do we create opportunities of change? Because without creating change, you can't create opportunities. And if you don't create opportunities, you can't make your life better. So there's a quote, life is change. Growth is optional. So choose wisely, by Karen Kaiser Clark. So this is really, you know, great. Life is change. So you're going to have change. Growth is optional. So choose wisely. So the change is going to happen. It's really your question and your decision on if you're going to grow through that change. So while we come up on the end of the year, I have an exercise for you to do. And I want you to actually take some time and journal. If you're driving while you're listening to this, you can't do it right now. But I want you to spend some time, you know, thinking about how did this year go for you? And so in the same categories I talked about earlier. So write about how did this year go personally? How did it go professionally? How did it go from a relationship standpoint? How did it go financial? Now, I know whatever you might have said in these categories at the beginning of January 2020, I doubt the year has gone exactly the way that you expected because January 1st, we didn't even like know about COVID. It wasn't until a few weeks later that it was ever talked about. Now, I was in China when COVID first started, first hit, you know, and I was actually worried I was going to get home in January. But the rest of the world wasn't reacting to it as quickly. So as much as I was scared to get on the plane and make sure I could make it home without ending up in quarantine, I had no problem returning home, which I thought was actually quite strange because it just hadn't, the word hadn't communicated around the world yet. But so write about, you know, what you actually have accomplished this year. You know, maybe it's that you've gotten more sleep. Maybe you focused on taking care of spending more time with your family. I've actually loved this year. It definitely hasn't been like I expected, but me and my family have done a lot more together. I wouldn't trade the year for anything from an experience standpoint. So take some time and journal and write down, you know, what you have accomplished because it really is good to take that time and it feels good to say, yes, I accomplished these things. Too often we always focus on what we haven't done. And so that's why I encourage you first to take the time to journal what you have gotten done and celebrate it. Look at it, notice, you know, maybe if it's appropriate, tell people, celebrate with them. And take credit for the things that you have gotten done, that what progress you have made. One of the things that I did this year And I'll admit it, I'm 45 years old. I can do pull-ups for the first time. I used to always joke that I was missing those muscles, and pull-ups were just not something. I can deadlift almost 300 pounds, but I could never do a pull-up. And I focused on it this year. So if I can at 45 do my first pull-ups, then really you can set whatever goals that you want and find a way to work to achieve them. After you get done, writing what you've achieved and taking some time to reflect and celebrate those accomplishments, I want you to, in the same categories, write down some things that you wanted to get done, but you didn't. So what things personally did you want to get done this year? What things professionally did you intend to do this year? From a relationship standpoint, maybe it's finances, because I think all of us probably took a hit one way or another in our finances, either from people got laid off, people were furloughed, your retirement account maybe just didn't make as much that you intended because of the effect of COVID. But what did you not get done? And I don't want you to get in the habit of making excuses for why things didn't get done. But I want you to take a little bit of time and think, why didn't each one of those things not get done? Maybe 2020 just hasn't allowed it because of COVID, because of maybe, you wanted to travel and that just has been canceled. And that's okay. So make note, okay, this wasn't just the right year for that goal. Maybe it's something you can carry on for next year. Maybe you didn't prioritize it. And some people would say, well, I just didn't have time for it. And we all have the same amount of time. So if you're saying that you didn't have time for something, that just means it wasn't a high enough priority in your life. You prioritized your time in a different way. Maybe whatever goal you had, it would take more time than you thought. And so maybe you made some progress towards it, or you attempted and it didn't work out. Or maybe some people would say, you failed at your first attempt. But now, maybe you still have that goal. You're going to still work towards it, but it just is going to take longer. You have to break it into steps. Is it something you just never started? So you wanted to do it, but for one reason or another, you just never got a chance to get started. Or lastly, maybe that goal wasn't that important after all. And you need to admit that of why didn't things happen. Now you have a month, as I said, a little over a month. So if there was a thing that you didn't, or you forgot that I wanted to do that this year, I would say start tonight. What can you do to start putting that in motion and see how far you can still get to accomplish it yet this year? But too often, the reason we don't do things is because we don't want to actually change. We don't want to make that change. We're not making change the default. So how do we do that? What things can we do to naturally make change our default? So I'm going to give you a few steps that how you can be more open and to embrace change. The first one is stop trying to figure everything out in advance. Too often we never get started because we're just working on like completing the whole plan. We want to know all the details. We want to know all the steps and we want to make sure that we see line of sight to how to be successful in the end before we'll even start the change. And I like the attitude that everything is figure outable. Once you get started, just trust that you can figure it out along the way. Yeah, it might be kind of bumpy. Yeah, you have to figure out maybe the first step or two, but you don't have to always figure everything out to the end. Too often we just are like paralyzed by not knowing, everything done. So just get started. That's the first step. The second thing I'd say is to embrace change is start with small things. Start making changes on a regular basis. I do this regularly with trying to pick new brands. Maybe it's toothpaste or shampoo. I definitely do it with shampoo. I can never buy the same brand of shampoo twice in a row. And it's just interesting. You get used to trying something new. And that doesn't mean I like them all. Sometimes it's like, damn, I really shouldn't have bought this one. But that's part of the process, right? More often than not, that you might find stuff that you love. But you get used to that change. So practice change with small things. And that way, when you make big changes, it's less scary. Sometimes when we have to make a change, we have to choose. We have to choose between, let's say, two options. And you're having trouble deciding, you know, which is the best option. One time I was told, you just pick one. Like, you use everything that you know, but in the end, it comes down to, well, you're just really not sure. Just go with your gut and pick one. Because many times, the right answer or the better answer won't be known until the decision is made and you start putting it into practice. Now, when you do this, don't be hard set, well, I picked this and I'm going to follow through forever. You know, make sure that you're checking in. And if you need to modify your decision later, you can. But sometimes you just have to pick it and move forward. The next thing that I'll suggest is you need to stop asking everyone else their opinion. That doesn't mean don't ask anyone their opinion. But too often what we're trying to do is ask like everyone we know to try to get reinforcement, like we're doing the right thing and get reassurance for ourselves. So if you need to talk to an advisor or you need somebody's opinion, make sure you're asking someone that's qualified to give you that opinion and ask them only for that particular topic and get their opinion. Like, you don't want to go to a fast food restaurant to ask someone, you know, suggestions on healthy diet and eating, right? I mean, like, you want to make sure that you're going to the right expertise for that opinion. And then take that knowledge. It doesn't mean you even have to follow it 100%. But don't ask everyone. You know, don't think that getting the more opinions is better and it's going to help you reassure to make that change. You need to have confidence to make that change. The next thing is, no, it's okay to say that you don't know. You know, I think about like a GPS. So sometimes like you're looking at your phone, you're trying to get directions and it like doesn't really know where you're at. But once you start moving, all of a sudden the GPS figures out where it's at and it reorients your map and it knows where to take you, right? It adjusts as needed. Even if you take a wrong turn, it'll redirect you. And that's okay. So even if you don't know, sometimes just starting something, just starting to put things into motion will allow the path to become visible so you can go forward. The next thing is acknowledge the feelings that you're having about the change. It's really okay. You know, like I was saying, on Friday when I left work, I was sad. I was sad to be leaving my team. I was sad to be leaving a business that I had been with for so many years. And at the same time, I was excited. I was incredibly excited for the new opportunity and everything I had to was going to get a chance to learn and do. And but you need to admit you have these feelings, and you can admit, okay, but maybe I'm a little scared, or I'm not sure what I'm going to do on Monday, or whatever that might be. Acknowledging those feelings helps you actually handle them. You can journal about them if you don't have a chance to actually, you know, say them out loud to somebody. I really do suggest that just putting them out on paper a lot of times helps you to acknowledge those feelings. And they're not feelings, you got to remember, are not good or bad. They're not right or wrong. The feelings just are the feelings that you have. The last thing is you really want to acknowledge, you know, what you're going to learn from the change. How will this lesson help you in the future? And that will sometimes help get through the change. So yeah, you know, it's going to be hard. You know, you don't want to do it, but you know, as you go through it, you can learn something and then you can build on that in the future. So that's can just help you to embrace and understand the change. So I want to run through them for you one more time. The first one is, you know, stop trying to figure everything out in advance. You don't need to know all the answers to be able to start to accept change. Make sure you practice with small things. And you can do this on a daily basis. And it can be as simple as driving a different path to work. It doesn't have to be big things, but it's just amazing how you get used to change in small ways and it makes big change easier to handle. The third thing is when you have to, sometimes you just have to pick one. You won't always know the right answer. And no, there's no way to know the right answer in advance. Next, stop asking everyone else their opinion. If you do need to have an expert or someone that, you know, opinion you can value and they're an expert in the area that you need, yes, ask them. But just don't be looking from everyone that you know, trying to get extra confidence to go forward. It actually just won't help you out at all. It's okay, and know it's okay to say that you don't know. You can figure it out as you go. So just acknowledge that, and then you can move forward. Make sure you keep doing something, and you keep moving. Acknowledge your feelings. It's very important. And then finally, focus on what you can learn from the change and how you're going to use the change as you go forward. So I hope, you know, these steps will help you as you embrace change. We're in such a big time of change right now that you can't really deny it. You can feel it all around you. But I hope as you learn to embrace the change, it'll create opportunities for you in your life, in your career, personally and professionally as you go forward. So know that you can only be ourselves. And by embracing all of myself, I've had the courage to be seen and I've created opportunities in my life that my life has just gotten better and better. And so that's what I want to do for you, that I invite you to check out my website, couragetobeseen.com. My contact information is there. And you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook. I post daily inspirational messages. And you can subscribe to this podcast, and then you'll get an update, you know, every time we have a new episode. And so thanks for listening, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you've been inspired to take action on at least one thing starting today. To learn more, check out couragetobeseen.com. There you'll find my blog and additional resources, including you can download a copy of 10 Ways to Live a More Courageous Life. Thanks again for listening, and make sure you tune in next time to learn additional ways to have the courage to be seen in your own life.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.